This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
People are like talking and stuff.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم اغفر لنا ولشيخنا ولوالدينا وللحاضرين قال المصنف رحمه الله في تفسير قول الله تعالى بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. سَأَلَ سَائِلٌ بِعَذَابٍ وَاقِعٍ A skeptic has asked to hasten an inevitable punishment. لِلْكَافِرِينَ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٍ For the disbelievers, which none can avert. مِنَ اللَّهِ ذِي الْمَعَارِجِ From Allah, Lord of the Roots of Ascent. تعرج الملائكة والروح إليه في يوم كان مقداره خمسين ألف سنة by which the angels and the spirit ascend to him in a day the measure of which is 50,000 years فاصبر صبرا جميلا so be patient O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and preserve in good grace innahum yarawnahu ba'ida verily they regard it the punishment as something far fetched wa narahu qareeba but we know it will be close at hand
bismillahir rahmanir rahim alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wal aqibatu lil muttaqin wa la udwana illa 'alal zalimin واشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين واشهد أن نبينا محمدا عبده ورسوله المصطفى الأمين اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد So today is the 19th day in the reading and the commentary of this book of tafsir تيسير الكريم الرحمن في تفسير كلام المنان famously known as the tafsir of السعدي فشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي who died in the 1376 of the Hijra رحمه الله تعالى برحمته الواسعة and we have just begun with the recitation and therefore the tafsir of what is the 70th chapter of the Quran Surah Al-Ma'arij and it is known by this name Al-Ma'arij in many of the early books of tafsir and the early books of narration and it is also famously known in the hadith and in the statements of the companions as Surah Sa'ala Sa'il as we mentioned before that it was common amongst the companions and even in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the naming of a surah would be done by its opening words or its opening verse, depending on the length of that verse. And it is also known as Surah Al-Waqi', which is the last word of the first verse. All of these names you will find in the various books of Qira'at and so on. And it is a Makki surah, as mentioned by some of the companions, and as said by agreement by the scholars such as Ibn Atiyyah and Al-Qurtubi and others, alayhim rahmatullah, and it consists of 44 verses.
Here Allah highlights the ignorance of the stubborn who sought to hasten the punishment of Allah by way of ridicule, stubbornness and trying to outwit him. A skeptic has asked to hasten an inevitable punishment for the disbelievers, which they deserve because of their disbelief and stubbornness, which none can avert from Allah. That is, there is no one who can ward off the punishment, which some of the rebellious polytheists sought to hasten, before it descends and no one can alleviate it after it has descended. This refers to an-nadr, Ibn al-Harith al-Qurashi, or one of the other polytheists who called out, O Allah, if this is indeed the truth from you, then rain then rain down upon us stones from the sky or send us a painful punishment.
And this is mentioned in some of the books of tafsir, that when Allah Azza wa Jalla says sa'ala sa'il, and the word sa'ala sa'il means that a questioner asks, the translator says a skeptic, because the questioner is from the disbelievers, from the Quraysh. It is said in some narrations that this man is Nadhr ibn al-Harith al-Qurashi. Another Ibn al-Harith al-Qurashi, and you will find within the books of tafsir, when you have these statements that are being made, that the scholars mention some of the leaders of Quraysh and some of the chieftains of Quraysh and the different statements that they used to make concerning the Quran or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So his statement, Allah azza wa jalla, according to some of those narrations in tafsir, he mentions it in Surah Al-Anfal. So Allah azza wa jalla mentions his statement in Surah Al-Anfal, and here Allah azza wa jalla gives the response in Surah Al-Ma'arij. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this man came and he said, إِنْ كَانَ هَذَا هُوَ الْحَقَّ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ فَأَمْتِرْ عَلَيْنَا حِجَارَةً مِنَ السَّمَاءِ أَوْ اِئْتِنَا بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if this is the truth from your Lord, then tell him to send upon us a shower of stones from the sky or to bring some other painful punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that someone is asking, when will Allah's punishment strike? So some of the scholars made the connection between those two different incidents and said that it is one and the same, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is now responding to that, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best.
The punishment will inevitably befall them from Allah. It will either be hastened for them in this world or be delayed until the hereafter. If they knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understood his immense might and power and the perfect nature of his names and attributes, they would not seek to hasten the punishment. Rather, they would submit and show good manners. Hence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us of his greatness with that which is contrary to their ill-mannered words. As he says, Lord of the roots of ascent, by which the angels and the spirit ascend to him. That is, he is the Lord of highness, majesty and might, who controls all of creation, to whom ascend the angels in the manner that Allah has ordained for them, and to him ascends the spirit, which here is a general term that includes all spirits or souls, both religious and evildoers. This refers to the time of death. As for the righteous, their souls ascend to Allah, and they are admitted from one heaven to another until they reach the heaven above, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where they greet their Lord and attain the virtue of being near him, rejoicing in closeness to him, and Allah praises them, honors them, and bestows kindness upon them. As for the souls of the evildoers, they ascend, but when they reach the heaven and ask permission to enter, they are not given permission, and they are sent back to the earth.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here that Allah azza wa jal is the Lord of al-ma'arij, the roots of ascent, meaning that which ascends to the heavens and how far it goes and what is accepted and what is rejected, all of that is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As is mentioned in the famous hadith of Al-Bara' ibn Azib radiallahu anhu, which is what the author is referring to and alluding to here. The hadith of when the soul leaves the body, and for the believer, as the soul ascends, it is welcomed in every heaven. Every gate of every heaven is opened up to it until it reaches the seventh heaven. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honors it and tells it to have a good abode within its grave, and it is sent down back to its grave. And as for the disbeliever, when it comes to the first gates of the first heaven, those gates are not open for it, but it is told to be thrown back down from whence it came. And likewise, not only that, but the ascent and the descent of the angels. Allah is the one who commands when they come down, in the manner in which they come down, what they do when they come down. That is all something which Allah Azza wa Jalla controls. As is mentioned in the verse in Surah Maryam, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Jibreel, O Jibreel, why don't you visit me more often? Come to me more often than you come. And Allah Azza wa Jalla responded, وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that Jibreel said to him, we don't come except by Allah's permission. Allah tells us when to come. Allah tells us what to do. And likewise with people's deeds and actions, what's raised up to Allah Azza wa Jalla, what is accepted by him, what is rejected by him subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of that is from the roots of ascent that Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses specifically speaks about the ascent of the angels. And the angels ascend and descend as Allah commands, and they ascend and descend with people's deeds and actions, and they ascend and descend with the souls of the believers and the disbelievers.
Then Allah mentioned the distance covered by the angels and the souls when they ascend to him, and tells us that they ascend in a day by whatever means Allah makes available to them and by whatever helpful attributes he has created in them of being subtle and light, able to travel quickly, even though that distance would take 50,000 years to ascend by ordinary means. From the beginning of the ascent until reaching the limit that they are meant to reach, where those on high are, this is the great dominion and vast universe. both upper and lower realms. It is all created and controlled by the Most High.
And this is from the power of Allah Azza wa Jal and His majesty and His supremacy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that ascent and descent would normally take 50,000 years by our reckoning. For me and you, the time and the way we measure it, the ascent and the descent from the heavens to the earth, 50,000 years it would take. But Allah Azza wa Jal commands and it is done within a single instant and a moment as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pleases and as He commands. So Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who has all power and all ability subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah is aware of their needs, both visible and hidden. He knows their dwelling places and their resting places. And by His kindness and grace, He sends them provisions, encompassing them and subjecting them to His universal and shari'i decrees and His rulings of reward and punishment. How wretched are those people who are ignorant of His greatness, who do not give Him due recognition, so they sought to hasten the punishment in an attempt to outwit and test Him. Glory be to the Most Forbearing, who gives them respite but does not forget. They offend Him, but He is patient with them, and He pardons them and grants them provision. This is one of the interpretations of this verse, according to which this ascent occurs in this world, because the context indicates that. However, it may be the case that this refers to the day of resurrection, and that on the day of resurrection, Allah will show His slaves something of His greatness, majesty, and pride that will offer the greatest proof of His might from what they will see of the ascent of the angels and souls, ascending and descending by the command of Allah, with decrees concerning His creation. The length of that day will be as 50,000 years because of its duration and hardship, but Allah will make it easy for the believer.
So we have two tafsirs here for this verse and what it means when Allah Azza wa Jal says that it is the length of 50,000 years. The first tafsir, according to some scholars, it is the amount of time that it would have taken for the decrees of Allah to ascend and descend were it to be measured by our time. It would be 50,000 years by our measure of time. But Allah Azza wa Jal decrees it to be quicker and faster. The second tafsir that the author then mentions is that it is speaking about the day of Qiyamah, which is also correct and is established in the Sunnah. In a number of ahadith, that the day or the length of Yawmul Qiyamah, that day will be the length of 50,000 years by our reckoning. 50,000 years by our reckoning. If you think about the Gregorian calendar, that is 2024 today, 2024 years, how many thousands of years have just passed? Only 2,000. That day of Yawmul Qiyamah is 50,000 years. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentions that the length of a day in the sight of Allah Azza wa Jal is 1,000 years. In the sight of Allah, Allah's reckoning, a day and night in the sight of Allah with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala is 1,000 of our years. The Prophet said in some hadith that are narrated from him, and the scholars differ over them in terms of their authenticity, but they're narrated often in the books of hadith, that for the believers that are counting on Yawmul Qiyamah will be half a day of Allah's length. Half a day of Allah's length, meaning how long? 500 years. So the length of the believers within that day that is 50,000 years long, the believers will be accounted for in 500 years. What is the other than the remainder of what's left? It is for the disbelievers and the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge them and punish them. May Allah azza wa jal save us from them.
There's a car blocking the Morrison's loading bay. It's an Audi GF66 BNU. So please move that, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. So be patient, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and preserve and persevere in good grace. That is, persevere in calling your people with good grace, and do not be impatient or get tired. Rather, persist as Allah has commanded you. Call His slaves to affirm His oneness, and do not be deterred by what you see of them, failing to submit and showing no interest, for there is much good in bearing that with patience.
So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, be patient. Be patient in the dunya. If you're in the dunya and you're being told to be patient, being told to be patient upon Allah's decrees, upon Allah's obedience, upon what Allah has decreed for you of calamity, how long is your life? 50 years, 60, 70, 80 years? Isn't that better to be patient for than to wait for that day of 50,000 years and to bear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And that's just the standing. That's before the rest of eternity that comes after the day of judgment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the believers, be patient, better, even if you have the worst and the most difficult of hardships and life that you're living, be patient, 50, 60, 70 years, and then Allah azza wa jalla will take your soul. Better for you to be patient for 60, 70 years than to be impatient here and to have to wait on that day of judgment. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the people who don't give zakah, those people who have wealth and they don't give zakah, whether it's camels, whether it's cows, whether it's sheep, or whether it's money, they will come on the day of judgment. Their wealth will come and it will come and chase them. And it will bite them and it will punish them and torture them because they didn't give zakah for it on a day, he said, the length of which is 50,000 years. That's just the punishment of the day of standing, the day of judgment. Let alone then what Allah Azza wa Jalla has prepared for those people when they're punished within the fire.
Barely they regard it, the punishment, as something far-fetched, but we know it will be close at hand. This refers to the resurrection, which will bring punishment for the skeptics who sought to hasten the punishment. In other words, the attitude is that one is that of one who denies it, one who is overtaken by his wretchedness and heedlessness to the point that he thinks that all that lies ahead of the resurrection is something remote and far-fetched. But Allah sees it as being close at hand, because He is kind and forbearing and does not hasten. He knows that it will inevitably come to pass, and everything that is coming is near at hand. Then Allah mentions the horror of that day and what will happen thereon. يَوْمَ تَكُونُ السَّمَاءُ كَالْمُهْلِ. It will come on a day when the sky will be like dregs of oil. وَتَكُونُ الْجِبَالُ كَالْعِهْنِ. And the mountains will be like tufts of dyed wool. وَلَا يَسْأَلُ حَمِيمٌ حَمِيمًا. And no relative or friend will ask about another. يُبَصَّرُونَهُمْ يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمِئِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. Even though they will be within sight of one another, the evildoer will wish that he could ransom himself from the punishment of that day by offering his children. وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِيهِ. And his wife and his brother. وَفَصِيلَتِهِ الَّتِي تُؤْوِيهِ. And his kindred who stood by him. وَمَن فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ يُنْجِيهِ. And everyone on earth in order to save himself. كَلَّا إِنَّهَا لَظَى. By no means, it is a raging fire that awaits him. نَزَّاعَةً لِلشَّوَى. That will strip away the scalp. تَدْعُو مَنْ أَدَبَرَ وَتَوَلَّى. It will call those who turned their backs and disobeyed. وَجَمَعَ فَأَوْعَى. And accumulated wealth and hoarded it. It will come on a day, namely the day of resurrection, on which these momentous events will occur, when the sky will be like dregs of oil. The word translated here as dregs of oil may refer to molten lead. It is described thus because of its splitting asunder and because terror and dread will reach such a high level.
On that day, Yawm al-Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the way that the sky will be split apart in different verses, in different ways in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the ways that it is mentioned is, as is mentioned in Surah Ar-Rahman, that it will become red. Red as if there is molten lead or molten or dregs of oil being poured from it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions also that Allah Azza wa Jal, like He mentions here, that it will be ripped asunder. And when it is rent asunder and it is split open, that the sky is no longer solid in the way that you see it now. When you look up, it is one solid creation. But on that day, it will be like liquid moving away. So everything that you are familiar with on the day of judgment in terms of the sky, in terms of the earth, in terms of the mountains, in terms of the oceans, in terms of the sun, moon and star, all of it will be transformed. All of it will be changed because of the terrors of the day of judgment. These are the creations of Allah Azza wa Jal that will not be able to bear the gravity of that day and the terror of that day. So then what about those people who will stand before Allah Azza wa Jal to be held to account?
11-year-old Farhan, your mom is at door H.
What was that? Yeah, I can't hear it myself. They probably don't want to know anyway. There's a boy called Farhan who's missing from his mum. His mum is waiting at door H. Is there a boy here called Farhan? Farhan's probably enjoying himself.
And the mountains will be like tufts of dyed wool. The word translated here as tufts of dyed wool refers to all that has been pulled apart. Then after that, they will become scattered dust. Then they will disappear. If all these troubles will happen to these massive entities, the mountains, what do you think will happen to a weak human being whose back is laden with sins and heavy burdens? Is it not to be expected that his heart will be torn from its place and he will be greatly disturbed and will pay no attention to anyone else? Hence Allah says, and no relative or friend will ask about another, even though they will be within sight of one another. That is, one relative or friend will be able to see another, but there will be no room left in his heart to care or ask him how he is faring or to express any concern for him, for he will only care about himself. The evildoer who deserves punishment will wish that he could ransom himself from the punishment of that day by offering his children and his wife and his brother and his kindred, that is, his relatives who stood by him. This refers to what usually happens in this world, of relatives supporting one another and helping one another. But on the day of resurrection, no one will help anyone else, and no one will intercede for anyone except by Allah's leave. Rather, if the evildoer who deserves punishment could offer all that is on earth as a ransom so that he could be saved, that would not benefit him.
Look at this image that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives on the day of judgment. The author rahimahullah ta'ala says that usually these are the people that you go to for help. They're the people that support you most, that love you most, that care for you most. Your wife, your children, your parents, your brothers, the people that are closest to you. But on Yawmul Qiyamah, even though they will see those people and recognize them, Allah says, yubassarunahum. They will see them before them. You see your wife, you see your children, you see your parents, your brothers, your uncles, your aunts. These are the people that are meant to be closest to you. But on that day, instead of supporting one another, what are they doing? What are they doing? They're ransoming each other in order to save themselves from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Each one is saying, oh Allah, take him instead of me. Oh Allah, he's the one that misguided me. Oh Allah, he's the one that led me astray. Then Allah Azza wa Jal goes further and he says, but rather the evildoer on the day of judgment, if he could sacrifice and ransom everyone in creation, every human being, in order to be safe from the punishment of Allah, they would do so. Every single person. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions something similar to this in the Quran, in other surahs, in other verses. If a person on the day of judgment could ransom themselves with everything in the dunya and double its amount, they would do so. So everything that they consider to be precious in the dunya, the wealth, children, family, all of those things, but that they didn't have the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal, all of those people then on Yawm al-Qiyamah will be astray. Can someone go and ask those children? They're very loud and disruptive, right at the back. Someone can please go and just ask them to quieten down or leave the masjid. Sit in the lobby, go outside, it's a nice day.
By no means, that is, there is no means of saving themselves and no escape for them. The punishment of Allah will become due on the evildoers because they did not believe, and no relatives or close friends will be able to offer any help. It is a raging fire that awaits him that will strip away the scalp and will tear apart all parts of the body, both visible and hidden, because of the severity of the punishment. It will call to it those who turned their backs and disobeyed and accumulated wealth and hoarded it. That is, they turned away from following the truth, for they had no interest in it, and they collected wealth, heaping it up and hiding it, so that they did not spend any of it. The fire will call them to itself, ready to engulf them in its flames.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that from the descriptions of the fire is that it will strip away parts of the body because of its intense heat and because of the burning and the boiling that it contains. That on that day, anyone that is made to touch the fire, even if the fire comes close to them, even if it is brought close to them, this is what it will do. It will strip away from them their skin. It will strip away from them their body parts. And Allah Azza wa Jalla will then renew them, return them to their former state so that they can continue to be punished.
إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Verily man was created fretful. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. If misfortune befalls him, he panics. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. But when good fortune comes his way, he becomes stingy. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except those who pray. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Who are steadfast in their prayers. وَالَّذِينَ فِي أَمْوَالِهِمْ حَقٌّ مَعْلُومٌ. In those in whose wealth there is a specified share. لِلسَّائِلِ وَالْمَحْرُومِ. For the beggar and the deprived. والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين. Who believe in the day of judgment. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مِنْ عَذَابِ رَبِّهِمْ مُشْفِقُونَ And who are apprehensive about the punishment of their Lord. إِنَّ عَذَابَ رَبِّهِمْ غَيْرُ مَأْمُونَ For none is secure from the punishment of their Lord. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ Who restrain their carnal desires. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ Except with their wives or any slave women they may own, for then they are free of blame. فَمَنِ ابْتَغَى وَرَاءَ ذَلِكَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ But whoever seeks anything beyond that, such are the transgressors. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ Those who are faithful to their trusts and pledges. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِشَهَادَاتِهِمْ قَائِمُونَ Who are upright in their testimonies. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ Who are diligent in their prayers. أُولَٰئِكَ فِي جَنَّاتٍ مُكْرَمُونَ These will be honored in the gardens of paradise. This is a description of man as he is. For his basic nature is that he is fretful. Fretfulness is explained as meaning that if misfortune befalls him, he panics. That is, he panics if poverty or sickness befalls him, or if he experiences loss of anything or anyone that he loves, such as property or family or a child. And in such situations, he does not resort to patience and acceptance of what Allah has decreed. But when good fortune comes his way, he becomes stingy. So he does not spend from what Allah has given him, and he does not give thanks to Allah for his blessings and kindness. So he panics when faced with hardship and is stingy at times of ease.
This is the general description of mankind. Mankind is halur. Halur is someone who's not stable, doesn't stay in a certain way, but that they keep panicking or that they are in a state where they're constantly changing. If good comes to them, they're impatient, if good comes to them rather, they're ungrateful. They don't give in the way of Allah, they don't support others, they don't thank Allah Azza wa Jal, but rather they become stingy and miserly. And they think that it's all down to them and what they achieved and their own intelligence and their own wisdom and their understanding. So they don't turn to Allah Azza wa Jal, they attribute it to themselves and to other things. And if misfortune befalls them, then they're impatient. They turn and they complain. And they complain of Allah, they complain of what's been done to them from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. So either way, they're not happy. Either way, this is something which isn't good. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an exception to that general rule. And he will give a number of descriptions and attributes of those people that are an exception from the believers to this.
Except those who pray, who are described in these terms, when good fortune comes their way, they give thanks to Allah and spend from what Allah has bestowed upon them. And if misfortune befalls them, they bear it with patience and seek reward with Allah.
Meaning except the believers. Who are these believers? That when good comes to them, they turn to Allah Azza wa Jal and they thank Him and they're grateful to Him. And when evil and hardship befalls, they're patient with the decree of Allah and they turn to Him and they make dua to Him. Allah Azza wa Jal gives their first description that they are the people of salah. And Allah begins with the salah because it is the most important thing. And a person who's constantly engaged in salah, praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in whichever situation that they're in, they're thanking Allah, and they're asking of Allah, and they're being patient with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Who are steadfast in their prayers. That is, they persist in offering the prayers on time, fulfilling all the conditions thereof, and doing the complementary parts of the prayer. They are not like those who do not pray, or who pray only intermittently. Or who do not pray properly.
And so Allah Azza wa Jalla says, not only do they pray, but they're steadfast in their prayer. Never or rarely do they miss a prayer. Never do they pray a prayer late beyond its time. These are the people that Allah Azza wa Jalla praises. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that these are the people that their lives revolve around the salah. They are people who are, when it comes to the salah, they're da'im. Da'im means they're continuous and constant on the prayer. You never see them miss a prayer or let it go beyond its time, whatever the situation, wherever they are. Unless it's like a once in a lifetime thing, like happened once even with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they were delayed and they prayed beyond the time, because they were in jihad and they're fighting and they were busy and they were preoccupied. That's an extreme circumstance. Whereas the believer otherwise doesn't let the salah go away. So those people that wake up late, they don't pray fajr until the sun rises, they let prayers go, or they wait till the last 2-3 minutes of a salah and then they rush to the prayer. That's not from those people that Allah Azza wa Jalla described, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the salah as being their greatest priority, as it was with the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And this is something which we need to teach ourselves and our children, that there's nothing more important to them than their salah. As soon as the time of salah enters, there should be nothing that is a more pressing concern than the salah, because it's an obligation that Allah placed upon you. Until you fulfill it, it's still upon your shoulders. The salah, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said on his deathbed, from the final pieces of advice that he gave, as-salah, wama malakat aymanukum. The salah, and that which you have responsibility over. It's one of the final words that he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
In his wealth, there is a specified share of zakah and other kinds of charity. For the beggar, this refers to the one who goes out and asks for help, and the deprived, this refers to the one who is needy, but he does not ask of people so that they can give to him, and no one notices his situation, and therefore gives charity to him.
And so this is the second description of them. The second attribute is that they're people of zakah, people of charity, people who give their wealth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal.
Who believe in the Day of Judgment. That is, they believe in what Allah has told us about it, and what his messengers have told us of the resurrection and the requital, and they are certain of it. So they strive hard in preparing for the hereafter. Belief in the Day of Judgment implies belief in the messengers and in the books they brought. And who?
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here mentions the issue of Iman. Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here that they believe in the Day of Judgment, and everything therefore that it necessitates to believe in the Day of Judgment means that you believe in Allah and you believe in His angels and you believe in the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you believe in the Quran, everything else that necessitates belief in the Day of Judgment.
And who are apprehensive about the punishment of their Lord. That is, they fear it, so they refrain from anything that may bring them close to the punishment of Allah. For none is secure from the punishment of their Lord. That is, it is the punishment that is feared and dreaded.
So why do they do all of this? Why do they sacrifice? Why are they diligent with their salah? Why is their priority their religion? Because they fear that day that they're going to stand, as Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions at the beginning of this surah, that day, its length is 50,000 years. They fear that day, and they fear that standing, and they fear that accounting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they would rather sacrifice here, give up some of their desires, leave some of the dunya, in order to inshallah be safe on that day. Then the opposite takes place. And that is that they enjoy themselves in this life and they're heedless of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they're made to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Who restrain their carnal desires, so they do not engage in any kind of prohibited intimacy, such as fornication or adultery, homosexuality, anal intercourse, intercourse at the time of menses, and so on. They also refrain from looking at or touching anyone with whom such actions are not permissible, and they refrain from prohibited means that may lead to committing shameful deeds, except with their wives or any slave women they may own, for then they are free of blame if they engage in intimacy with them in the manner that is prescribed and permissible. But whoever seeks anything beyond that with anyone other than a wife or slave woman, such are the transgressors. That is, they have overstepped the bounds of what Allah has permitted and have done that which Allah has forbidden. These verses indicate that temporary marriage, mut'ah, is prohibited because the woman in such cases is not a wife in the ordinary sense, nor is she a slave woman.
And from their attributes and their characteristics is that they are people of modesty and chastity, that they preserve their modesty and they preserve their chastity, not only in terms of their private parts, but in terms of their eyes, in terms of their ears, in terms of what they touch and what they walk towards. Allah Azza wa Jalla says that these are the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And as we mentioned in the tafsir of Surah An-Nur, that from that which Allah Azza wa Jalla gives to a person light in the dunya and a light in the akhirah is when they preserve their modesty and their chastity. When they preserve their modesty and chastity before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah loves such people, because they give away and they sacrifice and they hold back from what is one of the greatest temptations of the dunya, and that is the temptation of the opposite gender. They hold themselves back and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preserving their modesty and their chastity. And there are numerous ahadith and numerous narrations of the companions and the tabi'een in which they would link Allah's guidance and Allah's light coming to a person with their level of chastity and modesty. But as for those people who are constantly engaged in listening to haram, looking at haram, thinking about haram, those people are the furthest people away from the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Those who are faithful to their trusts and pledges. That is, they pay attention to them and strive diligently to comply with the terms and fulfill them. This includes all kinds of trust between a person and his Lord, such as hidden obligations that no one sees except Allah, and trust between a person and other people having to do with wealth and secrets. This also includes promises or pledges that a person gives to Allah and those that he gives to other people. For the individual will be asked about his promises and pledges. Did he fulfill them and keep his word, or did he reject them and betray them and fail to fulfill them?
And so these are also from the attributes that they uphold and fulfill their trusts and pledges. The author, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, what is the greatest pledge that we have? It is the pledge that you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it doesn't mean that you just fulfill your trusts and pledges to your friends or to your family or to your business partners. No. The greatest trust that you have is the trust that you made with Allah Azza wa Jalla, the pledge that you made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship Him alone. And that is the first pledge that Allah will hold you to account for on Yawm al-Qiyamah.
Who are upright in their testimony, in their testimonies. That is, they only give testimony concerning that which they know, without adding or subtracting or concealing anything, and without showing any bias towards relatives and friends and the like, seeking thereby the pleasure of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere, and give honest testimony for the sake of Allah. And, O you who believe, be steadfast in justice and bear true witness for the sake of Allah, even if it is against yourselves, your parents, or your kinsfolk.
So when they speak and they give testimonies, they are truthful in their testimonies. They don't give false testimony because the person they're testifying for is their cousin or their relative or a parent or a family member or a friend. No, they're upright and they are truthful in their testimonies.
Who are diligent in their prayers and persist in offering them in the most perfect manner.
And look at how Allah Azza wa Jalla begins with the salah, He ends with the salah. Allah said that there are people who are steadfast upon their salah at the beginning, and now they are diligent, they make muhafaza, they preserve their salah. They want their salah to be protected, which means what? That they're going to make wudu properly, they're going to make wudu correctly, they're going to make sure that they fulfill all of its conditions, they're going to make sure that when they pray correctly, according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? It's not just an issue of offering the salah and ticking the box, no, they make muhafaza, they want to preserve that salah, because they want its benefits and rewards in this life and the next.
These, namely the people who are described in these terms, will be honored in the gardens of paradise. That is, Allah will bestow upon them honor and everlasting bliss, where they will have whatever they desire and whatever will delight their eyes, and they will abide therein forever.
These are the people of Jannah that will enter Jannah immediately, that they won't be punished by Allah, as opposed to those who fall short in some or all of these issues. If they fall short in some of them and it doesn't lead them to shirk, then Allah Azza wa Jalla may choose to punish them on the Day of Judgment. And if they fall short in everything, and they turn away from the path of Allah and they resort to shirk, then they stay in the fire forever. But those people who are diligent in all of these things, they fulfill them as Allah commanded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised them Jannah.
To sum up, Allah describes the good and blessed in these perfect terms and as possessing these noble qualities, doing physical acts of worship such as prayer in which they persist, and as having in their hearts beliefs and attitudes such as fearing Allah, which motivates them to do all that is good, doing financial acts of worship, holding beneficial beliefs, possessing virtuous characteristics, and interacting with Allah and His creation in the best manner, such as being fair-minded, complying with the terms of deals, keeping secrets and observing complete chastity, restraining their carnal desires, and refraining from that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. فَمَا لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا قِبَلَكَ مُهْطِعِينَ. What is the matter with those who disbelieve that they rush headlong towards you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? عَنِ الْيَمِينِ وَعَنِ الشِّمَالِ عِزِينَ. From the right and from the left in groups to mock you. أَيَطْمَعُ كُلُّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ أَن يُدْخَلَ جَنَّةَ نَعِيمٍ. Does each man among them hope to enter a garden of bliss? كَلَّا إِنَّا خَلَقْنَاهُمْ مِمَّا يَعْلَمُونَ. By no means. Verily, we created them from that which they know. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, highlighting the arrogance of the disbelievers, what is the matter with those who disbelieve? That they rush headlong, that is, hasten towards you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the right and from the left, in groups to mock you. That is, they come in scattered groups, each of them rejoicing in what he has.
As they would often do to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the days of Mecca, They would come as individuals, they would come as groups, and they would come from different directions. Whoever saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would mock him and ridicule him. And they would attack him sallallahu alaihi wasallam at certain times, and they would attack his followers and the believers who followed him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here resorts to rebuking them. What is wrong with these people? That this is the greatest of Allah's creation, the messenger of Allah, who brought the message of Allah and the revelation of Allah azza wa jal, and they come and they treat him in this way, mocking him and making fun of him.
Does each man among them hope to enter a garden of bliss? For what reason are they raising their hopes when they have not sent forth anything but disbelief and denial of the Lord of the worlds? Hence Allah says, by no means. That is, it will not be as they wish, for they cannot get what they desire by means of their power. Verily we created them from that which they know. That is, from an ejected liquid that originates from between the backbone and the ribs. Therefore they are weak and have no power to benefit or harm themselves or to cause death, give life or resurrect. فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِرَبِّ الْمَشَارِقِ وَالْمَغَارِبِ إِنَّا لَقَادِرُونَ. Verily I swear by the Lord of every point of sunrise and of sunset that we are surely able. عَلَىٰ أَن نُبَدِّلَ خَيْرًا مِّنْهُمْ وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَسْبُوقِينَ. To replace them with others better than them, and our decree cannot be escaped. فَذَرُهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُوعَدُونَ. So leave them to indulge in their falsehood and idle worldly pursuits until they encounter that day of theirs which they are promised. يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ. On the day when they will come rushing forth from their graves as if they are racing towards a goal. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ. Their eyes downcast, humiliation will overwhelm them, and that is the day which they were promised. This is an oath in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by every point of sunrise and sunset, every point at which the sun, moon, and stars rise and set, because of what there is in that of clear signs of the resurrection, and that Allah is able to replace them with others like them, as he says elsewhere, for we replace you with others like you. Then after death, on the day of resurrection, we will recreate you in a manner unknown to you, and our decree cannot be escaped. That is, no one can escape us or outwit us when we want to recreate him. Once the fact of the resurrection and the requital is established, if they persist in their denial and do not submit to the signs of Allah, then in that case, leave them to indulge in their falsehood and idle worldly pursuits. That is, leave them to indulge in falsehoods and corrupt beliefs, toying with their religion, eating, drinking, and enjoying themselves until they encounter that day of theirs which they are promised. For Allah has prepared for them on that day punishment and pain, which are the consequences of their indulging in falsehood and idle worldly pursuits. Then Allah tells us how people will be when they encounter that day of theirs which they are promised, on the day when they will come rushing forth from their graves in response and submission to the call of the caller, as if they are racing towards a goal. That is, as if they are rushing towards a marker, they will not be able to resist the caller or turn away from his call. Rather, they will come humiliated and defeated to stand before the Lord of the worlds. Their eyes downcast, because humiliation and distress will have overtaken them, so their eyes will be downcast, their movements will cease, and their voices will fall silent.
Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes how people will be resurrected on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they're resurrected, they will come rushing from their graves. No one will be allowed to take their time to dilly-dally, to go left, right. No, as Allah Azza wa Jalla says elsewhere in the Quran, مُهْطِعِينَ إِلَى الدَّعْ. They will hurry towards the caller that calls them. Meaning that when they're resurrected, everyone will go immediately, as quickly as they can, to stand before Allah Azza wa Jalla for their accounting. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that on that day, they will have no other choice. There's no other place to go, nowhere to hide, nowhere for them to go and escape the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal or the accounting before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
This is how they will be, and this is their fate. This is their day which they were promised, and the promise of Allah will inevitably be fulfilled. This is the end of the commentary of Surah Al-Ma'arij. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace be upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the day of judgment.
We now come to the 71st chapter of the Quran, which is Surah Nuh, and it is known by this name in many of the books of tafsir and some of the narrations that you will find, and it is also known by the first or the opening words of the first verse, Surah Inna Arsalna Nuha. And it is a story that speaks about the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, a Prophet of Allah that is mentioned in many places throughout the Quran, and this is a surah that much of it is dedicated to him. It is a Makki surah according to the companion Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and those who then took that position, such as Ibn Atiyyah and Al-Qurtubi, declaring it to be by consensus. And it consists of 28 verses.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Inna arsalna Nuhan ila qawmihi an anzir qawmaka min qabli an ya'tiyahum azaabun aleem. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people, saying, warn your people before there come to them a painful punishment. Qala ya qawmi inni lakum nadhirun mubin. He said, O my people, verily I am a clear warner to you. أن اعبدوا الله واتقوه وأطيعون. Worship Allah alone and fear Him and obey Me. يغفر لكم من ذنوبكم ويؤخركم إلى أجل مسمى إن أجل الله إذا جاء لا يؤخر لو كنتم تعلمون. So that He may forgive some of your sins and give you respite for an appointed term. Verily, when the time appointed by Allah comes, no reprieve can be given, if only you knew. In this surah, Allah does not mention anything other than the story of Nuh because of his lengthy stay among his people, repeatedly calling them to affirm the oneness of Allah and forbidding them to ascribe partners to him.
Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives to us here an amazing example of patience and steadfastness for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sacrifice for Allah azza wa jal. The Prophet of Allah, Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, as Allah mentions elsewhere in the Quran, stayed amongst his people, calling them, giving da'wah to them, al-fasanatin illa khamsina aama, 950 years, every single day, without fail, without taking a break, without going for a holiday, without leaving, every single day, 950 years. Imagine doing the same job for 20, 30 years and you've had enough after the second year. 950 years amongst the same group of people, being rejected in the same way, mocked in the same way, tortured and persecuted in the same way, and he stayed as Allah Azza wa Jal commanded him to stay, calling those people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Allah Azza wa Jal praises him in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls him Abdan Shakura, a grateful slave of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because despite that length of stay and despite everything that he had to endure, he turned to Allah Azza wa Jal and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his help. And so he is from those five messengers that are the greatest messengers of Allah, the Ulul Azm, the prophets of high resolve and determination. Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah honored him because every single person that comes after Nuh and every prophet that came after him is from his progeny, including Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So Allah Azza wa Jalla honored him for the way that he was patient upon it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us this example. None of us will live for 950 years. Your lifespan is 70, 80, 90 years max. That's usually the average of most people. It may well be less. That's all you have to do in terms of being diligent and staying patient and staying the course and worshipping Allah and staying with the halal and staying away from the haram. That's all that Allah Azza wa Jalla asks you for. He didn't ask you like he asked Nuh 950 years. Can you imagine doing that for 950 years with everything that it entails? And his people, most of them, the majority of them, disbelieved. Because Allah Azza wa Jalla says that the people that came with him on the ship, وَمَا آمَنَ مَعَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلٌ, only very few were believers from his people after 950 years.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he sent to his people out of mercy towards them to warn them of the painful punishment of Allah, lest they persist in their disbelief and Allah destroy them once and for all and subject them to an eternal punishment. Nuh alayhi salam complied and hastened to obey the command of his Lord. So he said, O my people, verily I am a clear warner to you. That is, my warning is clear. He explained what he was warning them about and what the consequences would be if they paid no heed and the means of attaining salvation. He explained all of that in a very clear manner. Then he told them about the main points of his call and enjoined that upon them, as he said, worship Allah alone and fear him by affirming his oneness and devoting worship only to him and keeping away from the polytheism, and the ways and means that lead to it. For if they feared Allah, He would forgive their sins, and if He forgave their sins, they would be safe from punishment and would attain reward, and give you respite for an appointed term. That is, give you time to enjoy life in this world and ward off death from you until the appointed time. In other words, the length of your stay in this world is in accordance with the will and decree of Allah until a specified time. Worldly enjoyment is not eternal, for death is inevitable. Hence Allah says, verily, when the time appointed by Allah comes, no reprieve can be given. If only you knew. When you disbelieved in Allah and stubbornly rejected the truth and did not respond to His call or submit to His command, Nuh said, complaining to his Lord,
قَالَ رَبِّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُ قَوْمِي لَيْلًا وَنَهَارًا.
Nuh said, my Lord, I have been calling my people night and day.
فَلَمْ يَزِدْهُمْ دُعَائِي إِلَّا فِرَارًا.
But my call has only driven them further away. That is, they only increase in aversion towards the truth, and there is no longer any benefit in calling them, for the benefit of calling is to achieve all or some of what is intended.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will now mention in the next number of verses the way that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam complains to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the situation of his people. And Allah azza wa jalla praises him in this surah despite Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Why is he praised and he's complaining? Because his complaints are to Allah Azza wa Jal and not to anyone else. So for a person to complain to Allah of their situation, of the difficulties that they're facing, of the hardships that they're going through, that is something which is praiseworthy. And it is something which is beloved to Allah. Because Allah loves to see from His slaves their poverty and their need before Him. And the reason why they call upon Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is disliked and what is not meant to be done, is to complain to others. That you complain to other people in terms of your personal situation, especially if it has nothing to do with them. It's not something which they can help with. It's not something which they can rectify. Just to complain for the sake of complaining, or to complain about that which they have no control of, such as the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something which is not praiseworthy. And it's not something which the prophets of Allah ever did. If they had complaints and issues, they would turn to their Lord and Creator, as Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam is doing. And look at the detail that he goes into that shows to you the diligent way in which Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam called his people for 950 years. He says, O Allah, I call them by night and I call them by day. Meaning that there's not a moment of the day or the night except that I used it to call those people to Allah Azza wa Jal. But all that I got in response was them turning away from me.
وَإِنِّي كُلَّمَا دَعَوْتُهُمْ لِتَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ جَعَلُوا أَصَابِعَهُمْ فِي آذَانِهِمْ وَاسْتَغْشَوْا ثِيَابَهُمْ وَأَصَرُّوا وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا اسْتِكْبَارًا.
Every time I call them so that you may forgive them, they put their fingers in their ears and cover themselves with their garments. They are persisting in their disbelief and are too arrogant to follow the truth. Every time I call them so that you may forgive them. That is, so that they may respond, for if they respond, you will forgive them. So this is in their interests alone. But they refuse to do anything other than persisting in their falsehood and in their aversion towards the truth. They put their fingers in their ears so that they would not hear what their prophet Nuh alayhi salam was saying to them, and cover themselves with their garments. That is, they cover themselves with them in order to conceal themselves, fleeing from the truth and our resentment towards it. They are persisting in their disbelief and evil, and are too arrogant to follow the truth. So their evil will increase, and they are unlikely to seek good.
And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends the punishment of the floods, is because these people have reached that level where they don't even want to know guidance. They're not even interested. They cover themselves in their clothes. They don't want to be recognized by Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, so that he won't call them. They put their fingers in their ears, and when they see him, they rush away from him. They run away from him. So these are people now who, those who are going to believe have believed, and the rest of them are going to be persistent upon their disbelief.
ثُمَّ إِنِّي دَعَوْتُهُمْ جِهَارًا.
Moreover, I have called them openly.
ثُمَّ إِنِّي أَعْلَنْتُ لَهُمْ وَأَسْرَرْتُ لَهُمْ إِسْرَارًا.
I have addressed them in public and spoken to them in private. Moreover, I have called them openly so that they could all hear. I have addressed them in public and spoken to them in private. And of that was all of that was because I was very keen and sincere. And I tried by all means to achieve the goal.
And this was the way of the prophets, and it is from the ways of da'wah. That you look at the different ways and means by which you can call people to Allah Azza wa Jalla and you utilize them. He says that I call them by day, I call them by night, I call them openly, I call them publicly, I call them in secret, individually. Everything that I could do, O Allah, everything that I could think of, every means that I had the capability to use, I did to call them to the religion of Islam. And that is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do the same. He used to go to people at night, he used to go to people during the day, he would go to some people individually, some people in their small groups, and some people he would call openly, proclaim publicly. All of this he did sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because this is the way that you have to give da'wah. So from the means of giving da'wah, or from the ways of giving da'wah, is that you use some intelligence and wisdom, and you look at the situation of the people that you're calling, and you find those times and those places that they're more likely to be receptive of the call that you're giving. So you think about this, and when you see this, that's when you call them to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ وَفَّارًا.
I said, seek the forgiveness of your Lord, for verily he is oft forgiving.
يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا.
He will send down upon you abundant rain from the sky.
وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا.
And will bestow upon you wealth and offspring, and provide you with gardens and rivers. I said, seek the forgiveness of your Lord. Give up what you are committing of sins, and ask Allah to forgive you for them. For verily he is oft forgiving, and abundantly forgives the one who repents and seeks forgiveness. He sought to encourage them by telling them of the forgiveness of sins, and what would result from that of attaining the reward and warding off punishment.
And this is also from the good etiquettes of giving da'wah. What did Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam say to his people? Believe in me, what do you get? Forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He didn't say that you'll be saved from Allah's punishment and Allah's wrath and anger. That's true, they would be saved from that. But he focuses on that which is more beloved to people, that which people like more, that which is going to be easier for people and more palatable for them to understand, and that is the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when you call people or you advise people, even people that are Muslims, and you advise them concerning the salah, or they're not giving zakah, or they're doing certain things which are haram, you should always increase or always focus more on the issue of forgiveness. Yes, you have to warn them and make them take heed of the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal, but your primary focus is the benefits of istighfar and the benefits of turning back to Allah Azza wa Jal, how Allah forgives, how Allah takes away and erases sins, how Allah turns those sins into good deeds, how Allah will bless you and give you more. And so that's the point that Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam focused on.
He also encouraged them by telling them of good results in this world. As he said, he will send down upon you abundant rain from the sky. That is ongoing rain which will reach the mountain passes and valleys and give life to the land and the people, and will bestow upon you wealth and offspring. That is, he will increase your wealth by means of which you will attain what you want of worldly pleasures, and will increase you in offspring and provide you with gardens and rivers. This is the utmost of what one would like and seek in this world.
And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions here that if you are people of istighfar, and this is from the benefits of making istighfar from its rewards, if you're from the people that make istighfar continuously, always, Allah Azza wa Jalla will bless you in terms of your wealth, Allah will bless you in terms of your children. And if as a community, the people of that community are people of istighfar and people of tawbah, then Allah Azza wa Jalla sends upon them the blessings for them all, meaning from the sky, the rain, the vegetation of the land. This is what Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here. So it is from the good etiquettes of the Muslim that they're always constant in istighfar, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be. In a single sitting, 70 times he would make istighfar, or every day 100 times he would say, Allahumma ghfirli wa tub alayhi, O Allah, forgive me and repent upon me, 100 times a day sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is from the good adhkar to make astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. It is something which is neglected, but it is something which Allah Azza wa Jalla uses to give you from the provisions for you individually. And when it is something done by the community, because he's saying to his people, if all of you believe, all of you seek forgiveness, what would Allah do? He will send rain upon you from the sky, meaning Allah will bestow upon you his blessings.
مَا لَكُمْ لَا تَرْجُونَ لِلَّهِ وَقَارًا.
What is the matter with you that you do not fear the majesty of Allah?
وَقَدْ خَلَقَكُمْ أَطْوَارًا.
When he has created you in stages, what is the matter with you that you do not fear the majesty of Allah? That is, why do you not fear Allah's greatness, and why do you not have any respect for him when he created you in stages? That is, stage after stage, in the mother's womb, then when being breastfed, then in infancy, then at the age of discernment, then at the age of youth, until the end of whatever one reaches in life. The one who alone is the creator and controller must be the only one to be worshipped. By mentioning the beginning of their creation, Allah points out to them that they should believe in the resurrection and the hereafter, and that the one who created them from nothing is able to recreate them after their death. He also cites as proof to them the creation of the heavens, which is a far greater matter than the creation of people, as he says,
أَلَمْ تَرَوْا كَيْفَ خَلَقَ اللَّهُ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا.
Do you not see how Allah has created the seven heavens, one above another?
وَجَعَلَ الْقَمَرَ فِيهِنَّ نُورًا وَجَعَلَ الشَّمْسَ سِرَاجًا.
And has placed the moon therein as a light reflected, and has replaced the sun as a light. Many benefits that are found in the sun and moon are indicative of Allah's mercy and great kindness. The Almighty, Most Merciful, deserves to be venerated, loved, and worshipped, and to be the focus of fear and hope.
وَاللَّهُ أَنْبَتَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ نَبَاتًا.
Allah has produced you from the earth in a wondrous manner.
ثُمَّ يُعِيدُكُمْ فِيهَا وَيُخْرِجُكُمْ إِخْرَاجًا.
Then he will return you to it, and he will bring you forth once again. Allah has produced you from the earth in a wondrous manner. When he created your father, Adam, you were in his loins. Then he will return to it when you die, and he will bring you forth once again for the resurrection. For it is he who has the power to give life, cause death, and resurrect.
وَاللَّهُ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ بِسَاطًا.
Allah has spread out the earth for you.
لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا.
So that you may traverse its spacious paths. Allah has spread out the earth for you. That is, he has prepared it so that you may benefit from it. So that you may traverse its spacious paths. Were it not for the fact that he has spread it out, this would not be possible. In fact, you would not be able to till it, plant it, cultivate it, build structures, and live on its surface.
So Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam then reminds his people of the many favors of Allah upon them. The favors of Allah in their own creation, in the way that Allah created them, in the way that Allah Azza wa Jalla allowed them to go from a small baby that is defenseless, powerless, that can't eat, can't drink, can't look after itself, can't bathe itself, can't clean itself. And Allah Azza wa Jalla helps you from stage after stage in your life until you reach old age. And then look at the signs of the creation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah created for you the heavens and the sun and the moon and the stars and the earth. All of this you benefit from. And all of this should take you back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his worship.
قال نوح الرب إنهم عصوني واتبعوا من لم يزده ماله وولده إلا خسارا.
نوح said, My Lord, they have disobeyed me and have followed those whose wealth and children have only increased them in loss.
ومكروا مكرا كبارا.
They have put tremendous effort into plotting and scheming.
وقالوا لا تذرن آلهتكم ولا تذرن ودا ولا سواعا ولا يغوث ويعوق ونسرا.
They said, do not forsake your gods, do not forsake wad, suwa, do not forsake wad, suwa, yaguth, yauq, and nasr.
وَقَدْ أَضَلُّوا كَثِيرًا وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا ضَلَالًا.
They have led many astray, so do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but destruction. Nuh said, complaining to his Lord, these words and this exhortation and reminder have not succeeded with them and have been to no avail.
Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the very long dua of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam when he speaks to Allah. He goes through all of this in detail. Oh Allah, this is what I did. Oh Allah, this is how I called them. Oh Allah, this is what I called them to. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is all-knowing, subhanahu wa ta'ala, all-hearing, all-seeing. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows, but as we said, this is from the etiquettes of dua that Allah loves. And that is that you show your need and poverty before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the hadith of the man in the desert that's dusty and disheveled and loses everything and is fearing for himself death and destruction. So he holds up his hands and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. Allah loves that a person is in that form or that state of need and poverty before him. And that is why it is said that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, if there was something that was difficult for him or an issue of Islam that he found difficult to understand, he would go far out and he would roll himself around on the ground to become dusty and disheveled. And he would do as is mentioned in that hadith. Because if a person shows that need and poverty before Allah Azza wa Jal, complains to Allah, mentions to Allah, speaks to Allah, Allah loves that. And that is why Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, when he was speaking about his loss of Yusuf, he said, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I only complain to Allah of my grief and sorrow. And Allah knows your grief and sorrow. But Allah Azza wa Jal loves to hear it from his slave and from his lips and from his words, because it shows your need and it shows your poverty for him, before him subhanahu wa ta'ala.
They have disobeyed me in what I have enjoined upon them, and I follow those whose wealth and children have only increased them in loss. That is, they have disobeyed the sincere messenger who showed them the way of good, and they have followed the chiefs and nobles whose wealth and children have only increased them in loss, which is doom, and caused them to miss out on gains. So how about those who submitted to them and obeyed them? They have put tremendous effort into plotting and scheming. That is, they have gone to extremes and stubbornly opposing the truth.
And Allah Azza wa Jalla says that they went to tremendous effort. Makaru makran kubara. Kubara is the most extreme form or most extreme word that shows how tremendous the effort was, how extreme they went to try to stop Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah tells us elsewhere in Surah Al-Shu'ara, they said to him, oh Nuh, that's enough. If you don't stop now, we're going to stone you to death. So they said to him, 950 years, it's enough now. We're not going to listen to you any further. And so that is when Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here the dua of Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. Because as we said, Allah gives people time. Allah is forbearing. Allah is patient. But they come to a point now when they have transgressed all of these boundaries. And there is no hope for them to have iman. And that is when the prophets of Allah turn to Allah Azza wa Jalla for his help.
They said to them, calling them to ascribe partners to Allah and making doing so fair seeming, do not forsake your God. Thus they called them to persist in what they were following of polytheism in a fanatical manner, and not to forsake the path of their forefathers. They have mentioned their gods by name, saying, do not forsake Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, and Ya'uq, and Nasr.
These were the five gods that they used to worship, the five idols they used to worship. In the long hadith in al-Bukhari of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he says that the time between Adam and Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam was 10 generations. And 10 generations according to their ages. Because as we can see, Nuh lived for 950 years. So Allah knows best how long those 10 generations were. But 10 generations, all of them upon Tawheed. All of them worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone. Until just before the time of Nuh, there were five righteous men. And these are the five men that are mentioned here that they would later take as idols. When these five men died, Iblis came to those people in the form of a man and he said to them, these people were righteous and they died. Why don't you make for them structures and idols that when you see them, you'll be reminded of their good and you will do good likewise. This is how he came to people when he first wanted them to commit shirk with Allah Azza wa Jal. Just as a reminder, just have them there. You look at them, it reminds you, they were good, we'll be good. So they liked that idea. And they did as he commanded. And they built those idols. And they placed them in five different locations within their city. And then that generation died. And the next one came and died. And the next one came and died until people no longer understood the purpose of those idols and what they were for. Then Iblis came to those people after a number of generations and he said, what are these idols for? Why do you have them here? They said, we don't know, but they've been here for generations. Our ancestors made them. He said, I know what they're for. They're for worship. These are your gods that they made for you and you don't even know, don't even realize. So they started to take those gods as gods besides Allah Azza wa Jalla, those idols as gods besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is when Allah Azza wa Jalla sent Nuh alayhi salam as the first messenger to humankind. He's the first of the messengers of Allah alayhi salatu wassalam. And so that is why they say, Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here that they say to one another, don't forsake your gods. These five men, Wad, Suwa', Yaghuth, Ya'uq, Nasr, these were our gods, don't forsake them for what Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam is saying.
These were the names of righteous men. When they died, the shaitan made fair seeming to them, to their people, the idea of making images of them so as to motivate them, as they claimed, to do acts of obedience and worship when they saw them.
And this is why the Sharia forbids making idols and making images and making forms if there is a danger that it can be used in this way. So if you fear that people are going to misunderstand, or people don't understand, or they're going to venerate, or they're going to give some type of worship or reverence to those types of images and those types of, then it is haram. This is what exactly what Allah Azza wa Jalla forbade. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is why the Prophet said, don't have images, don't have these things in your homes, because people used to take them as gods and idols besides Allah. Me and you, we may not. But who knows what our children and grandchildren, great-grandchildren will do. The people at the time when those righteous people lived never thought that those were going to be gods worship besides Allah. But that is how shaitan enters upon people, and that is how shaitan slowly but surely takes them away from the path of Allah.
But with the passage of time, as other people came along, the shaitan said to them, your predecessors used to worship them and seek divine help and seek rain through them. So they began to worship them. Hence their leaders urged their followers not to forsake the worship of these gods. They have led many astray. That is, the leaders and prominent figures led many people astray with their call. So do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but destruction. That is, there is no room for them to be guided or reformed. Therefore, Allah mentioned their punishment in this world and hereafter, as He said, مِمَّا خَطِيئَاتِهِمْ أُغْرِقُوا فَأُدْخِلُوا نَارًا فَلَمْ يَجِدُوا لَهُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنصَارًا. Because of their sins, they were drowned and were doomed to suffer the punishment of fire, and they did not find any helpers to protect them from the punishment of Allah. Because of their sins, they were drowned in the sea that surrounded them and were doomed to suffer the punishment of fire. So their bodies were lost to the sea and their souls were lost to the fire. All of this was because of their sins, about which their Prophet Nuh alayhi salam came to warn them and to tell them of the bad consequences thereof. But they rejected what he said until the exemplary punishment befell them. And they did not find any helpers to protect them from the punishment of Allah, to help them when the punishment befell them, for no one could oppose the divine will and decree. وَقَالَ نُوحُ الرَّبِّ لَا تَذَرْ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ دَيَّارًا. Nuh said, my Lord, do not leave on earth a single living soul from among the disbelievers. إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْهُمْ يُضِلُّوا عِبَادَكَ وَلَا يَلِدُوا إِلَّا فَاجِرًا كَفَّارًا. For if you leave them, they will mislead your slaves and will beget none but wicked disbelievers. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِمَنْ دَخَلَ بَيْتِيَ مُؤْمِنًا وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ وَلَا تَزِدِ الظَّالِمِينَ إِلَّا تَبَارًا. My Lord, forgive me and my parents and whoever enters my house as a believer, and the believing men and believing women, and do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but ruin. Nuh said, my Lord, do not leave on earth a single living soul from among the disbelievers to walk upon the face of the earth.
And this is why the position of the majority of the scholars is that the floods that took place were floods that took place upon the whole of the earth. Because of this dua of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam, oh Allah, don't leave upon the earth a single disbeliever. So when he made dua against all of those people that worshipped anyone or anything besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why when the people will come to him on the day of judgment seeking his intercession, ask him to intercede before Allah Azza wa Jalla, he will say, no, rather go to Ibrahim, for I made a dua that encompassed all of creation. And he will consider that to be something which is therefore excludes him from that honor of interceding in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions here the dua that he made. After 950 years and those people weren't believing, he said, oh Allah, destroy them all except for the believers amongst them.
And he mentioned the reason for that. As he said, for if you leave them, they will mislead your slaves and will beget none but wicked disbelievers. That is, their remaining is purely detrimental to them and others. Nuh alayhi salam only said that because after mixing with them a great deal and because of what he had experienced of their manners and attitude, he had reached that conclusion based on what he knew of their misdeeds. No wonder Allah responded to his prayer and drowned them all. But he saved Nuh and the believers who were with him. My Lord, forgive me and my parents, and whoever enters my house as a believer. These people are singled out for mention because their rights are emphasized and they have priority when it comes to showing kindness.
And so from the du'as that he made also then, it's not only a du'a for destruction of the disbelievers, but for mercy for the believers. And that is also something which is from the etiquette that Allah Azza wa Jalla tells us that you should always make du'a for your fellow believers, from the believing men and the believing women. And so Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam makes du'a for them and he says, and for the believing men and women that enter into my house. The scholars say that it doesn't literally mean his house. It means metaphorically his house, meaning follow his way, follow his religion. That is what is being referred to in terms of entering into his house.
Then he made his supplication more general and said, "And the believing men and believing women who do not increase the wrongdoers in anything but ruin, that is, loss, destruction, and doom." This is the end of the commentary of Surah An-Nuh. All praise and thanks are for Allah, and may the blessings and peace of Allah be upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his family and his companions abundantly until the day of judgment.
And with that, we come to the end of the tafsir of Surah An-Nuh and the end of today's lesson. Barakallahu feekum. Wa sallallahu alaihi wa sallam wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.